Well, open to the book of, yes, it is Ephesians again. Ephesians. Say, Gary, we've been on this book for so long. It's been almost 6 months, or maybe right at 6 months now. Huh? I am intending, before we're through with this book, to be walking like the new creature that I really am. And when it says, well, this is the very passage we're going to look at again. Put off the old man, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man. That, bless God, is what we're going to do. And how we walk is going to change, and even the world will take notice. Not because of us, but because of the God who gave us this life, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the first three chapters of Ephesians, Paul lays out what all God has done for us. And I mean, it is lofty. We have been through it. How God has not only raised Jesus to the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. But he talks about how he quickened us together with him, raised us up together with him, caused us to sit together in that same place of authority at the right hand of God in Christ. And we read it, and in church, you know, we spend an hour here, and by the time the service is over, I know you're built up, and there's something in your mind going, yes, yes. But then comes Monday, and the bills that you're struggling to pay, and the recession that the world is currently living in that none of us are going to participate in. But you know what I'm saying? And the world slaps you across the face and says, no, this is who you really are. You're barely making it. Doing your best not to shoot your neighbor. or whatever. You know, no, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. You're still that same old person. And we tend to keep believing that. And how I know we can tend to believe in that is by looking at the works that are not being done by the church. We're not walking like the people described in the first three chapters of Ephesians. Well, the last three chapters of Ephesians, and Paul starts talking about, because all of that is true, because everything he said in the first three chapters is true, now he's saying, don't walk like the rest of the world. Don't be like the rest of the world. They're walking in the darkness of their mind. He said, the understanding has been darkened, see. Well, we've been called out of darkness into his light. But what God did for us, all of that inheritance, everything in it, pertains to your spirit. God is the Father of our spirit. You find that out in Hebrews. It said, God is the Father of our spirit. Should we not be in subjection to him and live? Well, our spirit is born of God. We can look right here in this same chapter, chapter 4. The three verses I want to read is 22, 23, and 24. And here's the transition. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation. And that means not just what you're speaking. It means your former manner of life. Put it off. Just put it off. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Let's jump to 24. The goal is that we put on this new man. Well, what do we know about this new man, even right here in this verse? What is it about this new man? Well, the old man was corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He's talking about the fallen nature that is born in every human. It's the spawn of Adam. It's the nature passed down generation to generation, that sin nature. We're all born with it. He says, well, you've got to put that off. But this new man, the new one that God gave you when you got born again, it's the very life that you were quickened by. It is not corrupt. There is a part of you, it says right here, that after God, that means in his image, there is a new man on the inside of you if you're born again, if you're a believer in Christ Jesus, that is already from the get-go created in righteousness and true holiness. That's the child of God you really are. That's the first three chapters of this book summed up in one verse. That's who you are. Well, I believe it on Sunday morning. and Wednesday night. Because it's in God's Word and I can't deny it. But boy, when I get out there during the week, it just seems like I'm the same old me, trying to do the best I can. Lay hands on the sick and they die. Part of me even starts feeling guilty telling them they can be healed. Don't tell me that doesn't happen. It does too. Well, that's not walking. See, well, what is the bridge? There, it is apparently possible, or else we might as well throw the book away. Apparently, it is possible to put off that old guy and walk in the truth of this new guy. Or else, why write the letter? What is the bridge? How do you go from the one to the other? Well, you must be born again. He's writing this to people that are already born again. If it happened automatically by virtue of the new birth, everybody'd be walking righteous and holy and full of power right now. Now, how you do it is the sandwich. It's the bologna in the middle of the sandwich here. It's that verse in the middle. It says, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Now, for a second witness, I know you know this, but I want you to see it in your own Bible. It's good for you. Look at Romans 12, and verse 2. See, be not conformed to this world. In Ephesians, he said it, don't walk like the other Gentiles walk. Don't walk like them. They're walking in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God through the darkness, the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. He's saying, don't walk like them. He says, over there, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Over here in Romans 12, he says, don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be conformed to them, but be you transformed, does it say, by the renewing of your spirit? Their spirit's already renewed. He wrote this letter to Christians. Your spirit's already renewed. It's not going to happen while I'm just waiting on God to change me. The first three chapters of Ephesians is about everything God has done to change you. But how does that change happen? How do I go from living like I was to living like the really new creature that I'm supposed to be? It's by the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind, not by the transformation of your spirit. If you're born again, you're already transformed in your spirit. Ephesians tells us, say it with me, there is a part of me, the child of God that I am, that is already, right now, righteous, and holy. There is righteousness in me. There is holiness in me. It is the gift of God. It's by His grace, not by my works. Hallelujah. Now see, that's step number one. But God forbid we live for 60, 70, 80 years on the earth and that new man never get to walk on the earth. Never gets to be seen on the outside. Well, he's way in there in the Holy of Holies. Honey, we're not looking at your Holy of Holies. We're looking at the old outside here. Paul's not talking about your Holy of Holies. And that is the secret place. You got to spend time in there. I'm not... Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy of Holies. But he's talking about the ugly of uglies. he's talking about your walk now. How you walk in the world. Is that new guy ever going to get to shine? We're supposed to shine as lights in a dark place. Well, there's light in me. I'm not denying there's light in you. It's hidden right now by about 10 metric tons of flesh. We're trying to get that light to shine on the outside. And I'm here preaching with... I'm on this journey with you. You all know that. We're on this expedition into God together here. But now Romans 12 again, we got two witnesses. In Ephesians, he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I like to say it this way now, let your mind be taught by the new nature. Your mind has to become a spiritual mind, one that's been taught by the Spirit, one that's been taught by the Holy Ghost through your new nature until even your mind believes it. Over in Romans, he says the same thing. He says, don't be conformed to the world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's how you're going to find out and prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, back to Ephesians for a moment. All right. So we're talking about putting on the new man. Now, the thing of it is, you don't have to do anything to create that new man. The fundamental truth of the first three chapters of Ephesians, that new man's already in you if you're a believer. He's in you. He may not be dominating your walk, but there is a new creature in you. One of the last verses, one of the verses that we looked at in one of the recent services I did, we went back to Corinthians where Paul wrote and says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And really the best translation of that, he's a new species. And I want to take your mind back to this again. I see the picture again. Some of you weren't here. But in Ephesians, one of the things we're told that under the dispensation of the law, there was a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. And the law made a distinction between the two. And there was some hostility between the two. A Jew was not even permitted really to go under the roof of a Gentile. But Ephesians will tell you that in Christ, when Christ died on the cross, he didn't die just for Abraham. He didn't die in the place of Abraham. He died in the place of Adam. Well, thank God for that, all you Gentiles. Me too. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. Because we're told that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So let me get the picture going through your mind again. I had Bernard come up because everybody knows Jesus was a Frenchman. No, I'm kidding. We just love that spirit, the nature that's in Bernard. So anyway, he came up. He stood in the center here and he represented Christ on the cross. When he died, from God's perspective, the whole species of Adam died in Christ. If one died for all, then we're all dead. So I had Mike and Fred come up and they represented Gentiles over here on the left side. When Christ died, they died. But I had this young lady come and stand over this side, on this side, because she's physically descended from Abraham. So she would represent the Jews. But the Jews also, because they're the sons of Adam, they're on the human race, part of the human race, they died also. So the whole human race, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And it didn't make any difference. So she died, the Gentiles died, and the reason I had two Gentiles, did it make a difference? If the one was a vicious sinner and the other one led a pretty moral life, they were both just as dead, weren't they? Well, what about the Jew? They were just as dead also. And so Ephesians, the book, tells you out of the two, through Christ, through the new birth, God has raised any who will believe when they are regenerated to new life. From the two, God has made one new man. He is neither Jew, he is neither Gentile, he is a new creature with the very life of God on the inside of him. He is a species that did not exist on planet Earth before the cross. He's not a Jew, he's not a Gentile, there's not even male nor female in this new creature. The distinctions have all passed away. That's why Paul says, we don't even know any man anymore after the flesh. Because they're all dead. At one point, we knew Jesus after the flesh. You know what he means by that? We could trace his genealogy right on back. You know, we could go all the way back to King David and Abraham through his genealogy, but even Jesus isn't who he was then. He himself has the firstborn from the dead. He's so totally identified with us on the cross. He identified with the species of Adam. He didn't die as himself. He died as Adam. He is the serpent that swallowed up the sin nature. He paid the price completely. Then God, he says, it doesn't say he's the firstborn from the living. It says he is the firstborn from the... That can't be talking about firstborn from physical death. Lazarus had already been raised from physical death. There were people in the Old Testament raised. He is the first man quickened to new life from spiritual death. That lost, dead species of Adam. Now God is creating out of the two, from the Jew and the Gentile, both. He is creating one new man that is neither of those things. He is the offspring of the living God. And that's the creature that's on the inside of you. And you go, well, it doesn't feel like it on Monday. I feel powerless when they call me in there to pray for someone with terminal cancer. I don't feel like a child of God. Well, that's because the whole world is designed to conform you to its way of thinking. And your flesh is designed. Well, not designed, but the way it functions, it's keeping you in a certain mode of thinking. Now, we're going to look at this today in a little different way. I was teaching along these lines at Calling in the Lost one night recently. During the session itself, I started seeing this event transpire on the inside of me. I was being interviewed, like by a normal news anchor, and what it was being called, what I've called it is interview with a new creature. See, because we're called to have to be renewed in our mind, to think like what God says. See, Jesus Himself said, "Father, I have given them the words that You gave unto Me." He brought us this new covenant. He brought us these words. God's word is truth, is it not? Then He says, sanctify them. That means set them apart through Thy truth. Well, Thy truth is Thy word, Father. Peter says it this way. He says, it is through these exceeding great and precious promises. What promises? The words that Jesus brought. By those promises, we are able to partake of what? The divine nature. Now, but it's as our mind is renewed and we partake, not hear about, partake. We have to receive and believe it and start walking like it. By that method, we're able to partake of the divine nature. Peter's preaching the same message as Paul. It's by the renewing of the mind that you put off that old man, partake of these exceeding great and precious promises. By them, we're able to literally partake of the nature of God. That's the son that you really are. I keep wanting to say daughter, but in Him there's not even male nor female. You are His child. The offspring of God Himself. So yeah, I hear myself preaching this, and then Monday comes for me too. So all of a sudden, I was just teaching on a Sunday night, and I saw this interview. It's really hard to be reading confessions and leading people in confessions and an interview going on in your mind at the same time. Sometimes I stumble and I say, well, now wait a minute, and they have to just be patient with me while this happens, and then I'll pick it back up. Now, I've been working on this ever since. And I want you to get the picture. It's like I couldn't recognize who the interviewer was. It wasn't Katie Couric, and it wasn't, you know, whoever they are now. But the type was like that. It is a normal, of-the-world person. And if anything, I mean, they weren't being totally hostile to me, but if anything, they're being a little bit on the devil's advocate side. They don't really believe that I am who I say I am. Like these messages I preach on Sunday, how many remember the one sickness doesn't have a choice? They're going, really? Bet me. They're going, really? You preach that, do you? Okay, so it's that kind of attitude. You with me? Now, I've only started on this, and I'll tell you right now, as I hear the questions, I just sit there and listen in front of my laptop, and I listen, and I hear a question come. I myself, who has been teaching out of the book of Ephesians for 6 months, I start trying to write the answer. It's difficult. And I'll write a sentence, and I go, that's 1 degree off, that's 5 degrees off, that's not exactly right. I back up and I pray, and I write another sentence, rewrite it again. Some of these, I've only got like 4 or 5 questions on here so far. And I have difficulty writing the answer, which tells me my mind is not nearly as renewed to this, the first 3 chapters of Ephesians, as I'd like to think they are. Let me give you some examples, okay? Now, trust me, this is very incomplete. So picture this. Now here I am just going around. I'm a guy who goes around saying that God is my Father. I am a new creature. I'm not a son of Adam. I'm a child of the living God. I'm anointed by the Holy Ghost. Sickness has no choice when I pray. Just normal New Testament talking. The same way everyone talks to Sue and I when they call for counseling. They all talk like that. And so all of a sudden now I'm on national TV and I'm being interviewed by one of the news anchors. Pick one. And the very first question, who is your father? National TV. God is my father. The news anchor reaches over and brings out some documents. Mr. Carpenter, we have your birth records. We have copies here of the documents from the hospital in Shawnee, Oklahoma. And they plainly say here now that you are the son of O.R. and Lillian Carpenter. How can you say God is your father? We have the documents. Now, so far my answer is, and this has been rewritten, I don't even know how many times I've rewritten this. You are speaking of the man I used to be. I was born the child of O.R. and Lillian Carpenter. But I died in Christ. The man you speak of has been dead for many years. The life I now have is not the same life that man had. The Lord Jesus Christ quickened me with the very life of God. When I rose from the dead, I became awake to a whole new life. Does that remind you of a verse? Awake, thou that sleepest. Rise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. Trying to answer this, I saw myself coming alive. That first moment, coming alive. And I awoke to a whole new life. So, anyway. When I rose from the dead, I became awake to a whole new life. I was no longer the man I had been before. The life of God is inside of me. And I am His child. I tell you again, God is my Father. Now, can you imagine the look? So they go right for the crux of the matter. Said, do you keep the law of Moses? My answer is, well, the law of Moses was never given to my species. The law of Moses was given to the fallen species of man. I have a spirit within me that is created in righteousness and true holiness. God has written His law within my new nature. That nature is what I walk by. Okay. They say, well, we have legal documents that record many sins that you have committed. Now, here I claim to be a child of God, right? We have legal documents. And let's say, now, I've never been arrested myself, but I have, you know, you pick something, parking tickets, anything. We have legal documents, okay? And anyway, trust me, if they could get their hands on it, there's plenty of evidence. And many things that they don't call illegal, God calls illegal anyway, but... So we have legal documents now, you know, that record many sins that you have committed. Boy, can't you see the finger? And my answer is, again, you are confusing me with someone else. Now, this body right here, this body, it used to house the spirit of a man who is now dead. And yes, in this body, that man committed many sins. But I am not that man. God loved the man that you speak of, even while he was dead in his trespasses and sins. You all recognize in any verses? But he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to take the full punishment for that man's sins. He received a full pardon because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And even though he was forgiven, he was still a dead man walking. So God did more than just forgive the dead man. He gave that dead man new life. And he quickened that dead man with his own life. The very life of God. I am that new man. Y'all getting anything out of this? I wish you could have seen how many times I'd write a sentence. No, back, you know, delete. Run at it again. Delete. Run at it again. Which tells me, if my mind has to struggle like that, and what it's doing, it's running through the books of Ephesians and Colossians and Romans and Corinthians. I'm searching. But if I have to do that, to that degree, sitting there in the safety of my home with no pressure on me, trying to just speak the truth, it tells me my mind is not nearly renewed to the truth of who the Word says I am. Out on the battlefield, see, Ephesians 6 ends with us going to war, does it not? Put on the whole armor of God. In other words, now that you have incorporated all of the things I've said to you, now we're ready to go to war. As I was trying to write this and struggling with it, I go, I'm just not so sure I'm ready for war. I got to spend more time renewing my mind. And isn't that what the commandment was? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's how you put off the old man. It's how you put on the new man. Now, this interview has got a long ways to go, and I only got this. We got less than a page on here. Gary, how long did it take you to write that page? We're not going to talk about that right now. Here's a question for new creatures. Interview with a new creature. By the way, they would challenge every statement that I've already made. You know, it's not going to be that easy. They're not going to take my word for it. They're going to say, show me. And because we haven't been able to show them, that's why they write us off. And say, well, Muslim is just the same, and Buddhism is just the same, because we've tried to win the world with words instead of with power. Paul says, I didn't come in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And we're going to have that same thing. But we can't walk like that, and that's exactly what Paul is endeavoring to get the Ephesians to do in order that they might work the works of God. Walk in the works that God created all of us to walk in. What did Jesus say? The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these. Paul's endeavoring to get us to do that very thing, but it's going to come by the renewing of the mind. He's already regenerated us in our spirit. Not waiting on God, no matter how much it seems like we are. He's waiting on us. He can't renew our mind for us. One more quick. Well, okay. It says, do you commit sin? Interview. How would you like to be on national TV? I am a child of God. God is my Father. I'm not even of the same species as you. When I pray, sickness has no choice. It has to obey me. Really. Yes, I am created. The person I really am is created in righteousness and true holiness. Here comes the accuser. The question. Do you sin? The answer I wrote down. I don't have to commit sin. It is now my choice. The body that I live in, this one, has not yet been redeemed. It has lusts in it that will result in sin if I allow it to dominate who I really am. I have been instructed by my Father not to bow down and serve my body by obeying the lusts that are within it. Now go to Romans 6 for a moment. Remember Romans 6? Killed me dead for years and years. It's still killing me dead. Look at verse 12. The whole chapter is good, but we'll run out of time. Now see, it starts off with verse 11, really. Well, it starts... If I do that, we'll be in Genesis 1 again. Look at this. Likewise. No, likewise. Likewise what? Back up. Verse 9. Okay, verse 8. No, verse 7. Verse 6 will be a good place. Well, see, this is the knowing. See, when it says knowing this, you could put it this way. Have you been renewed in the spirit of your mind yet to this truth? Do you know this? What do you want me to know? Do you know that your old man is crucified with him? You're dead. You are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. You're dead. My body don't feel dead. Every time I drive by the Krispy Kreme and the hot lights on, I have to fight with the steering wheel not to pull in there. I'm getting a witness back here, Glory. Drive by Marie Callender's and I know there's coconut cream pie in there. I know it's in there. And I can pick a lot worse things. Knowing this, that our old, see, this is that being renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is that don't be conformed to the world. Be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. You have to, when you renew the mind, it knows things. It knows things that God says, and it knows them to its toenails. Can I say it that way? It doesn't know it like some abstract E equal MC squared out there that you'll never use to, you yourself will never use to turn on a light bulb. You have to know where the light bulb is. You don't know how to, anyway. You got to know some stuff. Knowing this, our old man is not going to be. Is. When you got born again, you died, buddy. Is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. There's the commandment. From this point on, there it is. Don't serve sin. Now you got to remember, when I was going through this, at this point in my life, I was born again, been saved, been in the ministry for years. God had taken away alcohol, pornography, lots of other stuff, foul language, serving money, lots of other things. Boy, I was still smoking like a freight train. Got to remember, I was a construction man, then I was a driver, and real estate till 3 to 4. Anyway, you can make all the excuses you want. The point was, I was still smoking. I smoked for eternity in 3 days. No, I mean just forever. And I couldn't get free. And I'm out there, I'm just puffing away, just smoking, trying to get free. Man, I've, you know, 100 times I'd take a run at it. Sue could tell you, when nicotine patches come out, got the patches when the gum came out, got the and used them. I remember on one particular trip, I had a patch under my sleeve. Nobody could see it. I had a patch on each arm, 2 nicotine gums, and had to pull over for a smoke break. That's addicted, man. I'm addicted, okay? I'm just totally addicted. And then I'd read this. I'm reading this passage, and I'm going, no, I don't know this. Obviously, I don't know this, that my old man is crucified with him. It says knowing this, but I don't know it, apparently. Because look at verse 7. It says up there that it's destroyed. But he says, he that is dead is freed from sin. And I'd read it, puff, puff, puff. Boy, I'd try and quit, too. Kept coming back on me. Just now, so I'm still reading. I'm trying to understand this. I'm trying to renew my mind, okay? Now, if we be dead with Christ, remember our image? Dead with Christ. We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing, got to know again. Here's that word knowing again, the renewing of the mind. That Christ being raised from the dead, he dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. And I'm going, well, I understand that. I know it. Exit. It didn't. It has no dominion over him. Puff, puff. Seems like it's got dominion over me. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Okay, I understand that with him. I understand that with Jesus. And that's where the likewise comes in. See this? He's teaching the same truth here he taught over in Ephesians. He just, a little more detail in Ephesians. See, we understand that Christ is, I don't have a trouble understanding that he's been exalted to the right hand of God, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is believe in chapter 2. Because in chapter 2 it says, and he has, because of his great love and his mercy for us, he quickened us together with him, raised us up together with him, and seated us together with him in that same place of authority at the right hand of God. Why? Because he gave you equal sonship in your spirit. Now, you're never going to be God. We're not talking about that. God didn't create Adam to be another God. He created Adam to be Lord of this planet. It's another whole teaching. We can get into that some other time. Likewise, so that's why the likewise comes in here, verse 11. Likewise, well, like what? In the same way that Christ was quickened to new life and he doesn't die anymore, sin has and death has no dominion over him. Likewise, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the same thing in Ephesians. But then here comes the commandment. Puff, puff. Remember, puff, puff. Let not sin therefore reign. That means rule. That means have dominion in your mortal body. That you should obey it in the lust thereof. I'm not a rocket scientist, but even I understand what that means. It means I'm not supposed to be letting my body rule me through nicotine or anything else, controlling me and making me do stuff that's not godly. Now just pick your... I'm being real nice to you and real hard on me. I'm talking about my sin openly. I'm not looking at anybody for any reason either. You know? You sit out there and look so holy at me. Some of you may not have sins of the flesh anymore. But there's envy, gossip, slander, jealousy, greed, avarice. We could go on and on and on. See? Those are just as bad. I'm going puff, puff. Somebody judging me and sitting there all greedy. Their whole life is for money. Reading the same chapter. Anyway, we haven't got to the verse yet. Y'all want me to go back to the interview, don't you? But see, this is the renewing of the mind part that someday this year. I don't mean someday 10 years from now. I mean quickly. We're going to actually do Ephesians. Be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Put off the old man. Yes, sir. And walk like Paul's talking about here. Now watch this. We're headed towards something. He doesn't want me to get caught up on side trail here. So he says, how plain is this? Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. I'm reading that. I'm so guilty. I'm just smoking away. I love God. I'm trying to. Been going to the prayer center for years. Praying. I mean, the very time I'm doing this, I'm over at the ugly building praying 4 hours or 5 hours a day. This was in the early days when I come out of the trucks. And I still can't seem to get free. Feel condemned. Feel like it ain't working. The devil telling me it ain't working. Thank God for those words that would come out of Dave's mouth. I needed to hear it. I needed to hear it often. God will walk through hell with a man with a fault. As long as you don't start justifying it, saying it's okay. But if you don't know how to get free, but you're doing those things that will ultimately result in your freedom, God will walk through hell with you. And then later he encapsulated that into that sentence. Better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. And I just keep praying anyway. Just keep praying. Well, verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Now notice, as those that are alive from the dead. Here we go again. Who are you? You the same old dead man walking? You the same old dead man just forgiven? Awake, thou that sleepest. Rise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. So it says, you're supposed to walk as somebody who's alive from the dead. You're not part of that old dead species anymore. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin, boy, this verse would just kill me. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I'd throw them down again. Throw away my lighter. One time one of my daughters, I had quit again. This was it. Now, if you've never been a smoker or never tried to go through the withdrawals, on the seventh day, that same daughter went to the store and bought me a pack of cigarettes. Brought it home and says, "None of us can live with you. Please, take these and just pray." And I did. Later on, y'all know the story. In case any of you haven't heard it, I've been free for years now, okay? I've been free for years. God in His mercy came. I should have been free a long time before that. Now here in verse 14, when it says, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace." The words are there. I know their truth. I know Paul understands this. But I was a man still dominated by the flesh in that area. And it didn't have any meaning to me under grace. Grace to me only meant forgiveness, meant He loves me, meant He's going to let me go to heaven anyway. All of that's true. Grace is what you don't deserve, and He gives it to you anyway. But there was no power for me to put it down at that time. So I kept praying. I kept meditating the Word. Now today, for today's lesson, this is what I was instructed to do before I left the house. In this passage right here, everywhere that it says something like under grace, we're going to substitute the phrase empowered by the new nature. Empowered by the new nature. Now you got to remember, Jesus walked sin-free for 30 years before He was baptized by the Holy Ghost. He walked by the power of the new nature alone was enough to keep the man free from sin, yet He was tempted in all points like we are. He had a body that was from Adam. It had the motions of sin in it. It had the same lusts in it that our bodies have today. But the power of the new nature by His choice. Now, I didn't force Him. You got to know He chose righteousness. The truth for us to understand, we have the power now to choose righteousness. You didn't have that before you got born again because you had an old nature that agreed with sin. It agreed with your body. Your mind might want to keep the law. You could try it for a little while. For centuries, man found out that wasn't enough. Nobody could perfectly keep God's law. Why? They didn't have a nature that could keep it. So here we're going to substitute the phrase, "Now I understand better." It says, "For you're not under the law." That was for a different species. Born again person. You're under grace. Let's say it this way. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You're not under the law. In other words, you're not of that species. You have been empowered with a new nature. Well, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law? In other words, like it said up here, like I said earlier, but the law of Moses was never given to my species. Shall we sin because we're not under the law? You know, most preachers are still trying to put Christians back under the law. They're preaching to them like they're the same old creature. And it's easy because the whole world is trying to convince you of that, and all your circumstances are trying to convince you of that, and your body's trying to convince you of that. And it's easy to put people, even born-again people, back under the law, because the vast majority of everything they experience makes them think, I'm still just the old creature I always was. And as long as we think that, we're going to walk powerless. Got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. What shall we? What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but empowered by a new nature? In other words, I have the power not to sin. God, by His grace, has given me, He has empowered me with the ability not to sin, and I'm just going to choose it anyway? God forbid. Now I understand. Paul is, God forbid. No, here we go with knowing again. Don't you know this? To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey. Boy, now there's tons of revelation knowledge in that phrase, ye yield. It's your choice now. Wasn't your choice before. You had a nature that agreed with sin. But now it is your choice, Mr. Puff Puff Gary Carpenter. Mr. Puff Puff, really new creature. I didn't understand it then. I understand it now. Know you not that to whom you yield, you new creature you, you have a choice to yield yourself to whomever you want to obey, to be His servant. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. And the good news is, it's now my choice. I don't have to walk like the other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. I don't have to walk like that because that's not who I am. I am a new creature. My Father is God. And I have dominion over sin. My body can't make me do anything. The devil can't make me do anything. And yes, by the way, sickness has no choice when I pray. We're going to get more into that in the future lessons. We're not leaving this book till we're walking in this. If you're tired of it, there's a lot of churches in town. Go to one of them. I've made up my mind we're not leaving this till we're walking in it. I'm not going to let the sun go down on my wrath. I'm still angry. I'm still angry. I'm tired of powerlessness. Well, I'm going to stay here because this is where He told me to finish, and we're not done yet. So it says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants you are, to whom you obey. Plain English in the context here. You know, He says over in Matthew 6, you cannot serve God and mammon. You know what He's saying here? Of course, Jesus said that. Paul is saying here, you can't serve God in your body. You're obeying one or the other. You're obeying one or the other. Every time, see, now I'm going to be hard on me again. Every time I lit another cigarette, I was obeying my body and the lust thereof. It's just that plain. Yet I was a new creature. I've been over there speaking in tongues for hours. I'd actually seen God already do miracles through my hands and Sue's hands. I'd already seen Him operate by the gifts through us. I knew I'm a child of God. But my mind at that point was not yet renewed enough to walk in these things. I'm struggling with it. I'm meditating it. I'm trying to do everything my instructor, Pastor Dave, had instructed me to do. I'm meditating. I'm learning to assimilate the books. Man, I had my two little jars over there with the 30 beans in one. And as I'd assimilate the book, I'd move a bean from one jar to the other jar. I'm assimilating the books. But this process didn't happen overnight. And to be honest with you, so much of it now is opening up in my understanding in a way that through this book of Ephesians and our journey through Ephesians that I've never understood before. I'm still coming into the knowledge of these things. But see, the good news is, I remember when knowledge has brought me to new levels before. The good thing is, see, yes, sir. Something everybody, yes, sir. Okay, that'll work. He knew it would work anyway. Look, it's like in the old, there was a time when I believed Because the preachers would lift out a verse out of its setting, and I didn't know how to meditate the Word myself, and I didn't know the things that we know now. They would lift out a verse. Let's take Luke 6:38. And y'all know how usually that's lifted out by itself, like God intended it for it to be spoken at every offering. And the way they teach it is, when the buckets come by, you know, give and it shall, and it's in there. You can't deny the words are in there. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And then they'll go to other verses and link it up with that. And it's pretty soon they've got a whole string of verses that say something that God never said. And the idea they leave you with is like every dollar you put in the bucket at offering time, God is going to multiply that. He's going to speak to the hearts of other men, and they're going to give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Then they'll couple it up with that, you know, and with the measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. My brothers and sisters, how much of God's blessings do you want? Do you want little tiny blessings and give with a teaspoonful? Do you want carloads full of blessings and give with a carful? If you want truckloads of blessing, you need to give truckloads. Give with that measure, and God will... And the truth of the matter is, we're talking about renewing the mind and affecting your walk. When my mind was at that deceptive level, it affected my walk. And I felt so guilty if I didn't give. And plus, I wanted my family to prosper. And if this is the way God did it, then, you know, I know the man standing up there wouldn't lie to me. So we would do it. But boy, when I learned to meditate... And actually, I heard Dave teach that one. He just broke the whole chapter for us. Had us back up in the context and find out what he's really talking about. He's not talking about a church offering at all. You can't possibly put that in the context of a church offering. He's talking about when those sinners in the world, the ones that are slapping you on the face, taking your goods, compelling them to walk the extra mile, and they're doing all those terrible things to you. He's saying, I want you to have mercy on them the same way I had mercy on you. When you were a sinner, they're the ones in trouble. They're the ones that are on their way to hell. And if you will extend my mercy across the void of death to them in order to get the gospel to them, don't you worry. My promise to you is, yeah, they may walk away with your goods. I will speak to the hearts of other people and they'll give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You'll never be permanently diminished for extending my gospel to the lost. Now that's the promise. When that knowledge came to me, when my mind was renewed to what it's really about, it changed my walk. I could not be manipulated anymore. They can play songs and they can expound on that and pound you and some of them do for 45 minutes to an hour. And it's all malarkey, heaped down with malarkey and pressed down with malarkey. And running over with malarkey, whatever malarkey is, it's still... And it doesn't affect your walk anymore. Jan Butler was telling about the time when he was trying... Now see, and there's a time when you're changing your walk. You've known that you're knowing the truth and you're coming out. But man, that flesh, have y'all noticed? It just doesn't give up. It's called withdrawals. Boy... And we're talking about physical addictions. Honey, there's all kinds of addictions. Jan Butler was talking about when he was going through the quitting smoking stage. Jan Butler's a pastor friend of Dave's. They kind of started out together in Oregon. And Jan still has a real fine church out in Tacoma. And anyway, he was talking about, man, he's going through the first week or so of that. Man, the withdrawals are strong, you know. And he's gotten all the cigarettes out of the house and away from everything. And he's not doing it. And he was doing something, moving like some kind of a chest, you know, like a china cabinet or something. And when he tried to move it, he said a cigarette rolled off the top of it and hit him on the mouth. It hit him on the mouth, a cigarette laying on the floor. Nobody's there. And boy, everything in him wants that cigarette, see. Well, now we're at Romans 6. Who are you going to bow down to, boy? Who are you? Are you still that old sinner dominated by the flesh? Are you? Who are you going to bow down to? Going to bow down again? Bow down again? Are you going to bow down to your Father? Say, I'm not going to let the flesh dominate me anymore. Now, see, I'm using that example because it's something I have lived through. And once knowledge, once you have been renewed to a new place in your mind and you walk there for a while. I'm going to say it that way, especially when it comes to fleshly lusts. What used to control you, let's say it this way, what used to limit you can't limit you anymore. Well, listen, we've all been operating at the highest levels of faith we can for miracles and for healings and for all of the gifts of the Spirit, for everything. We're all walking as high as we can walk. That has to be true because God is not withholding any good thing from us. He's not holding back these things. We're walking as high as we can, and He's given all that He can. But I found a secret. I can be renewed in the spirit of my mind. That old man, the old thinking, the one that puts limits on what is possible, it's possible to put him off. Because there is a new man rising. He is waking up. He is rising from the dead. And in him there are no limits. And we're going to walk in the last three chapters of the book of Ephesians. Amen? Amen. Amen.